This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It is a chilly day, a few snow flurries, a high of 25, currently 24, with a wind chill index of 14.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Cisco, trade worries are raining on Wall Street now. The Dow is down 63 points, the Nasdaq falling 19, the S&P 4, the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down about 0.5%, with Sears shares leading the losses on its court filing that it could need close to $250 million more to make those successful store sales happen in the new year. Now, on Wall Street, the clouds came in the form of an interview with President Trump from the Wall Street Journal, which says he is planning to push ahead with raising tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods to 25% and does not see himself acceding to a Chinese request to hold off on that. This comes just days ahead of the president's meeting with China's president to talk trade issues at the G20 summit later in the week. Some of his other trade comments hitting Apple shares. They trade on all three averages, so that's kind of hurting everybody. The president says a 10% tariff on smartphones and computers made in China would be something that Americans could handle. Apple shares down almost 1%. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Joan. On today's Noon Business Hour, we will check the success of Cyber Monday and the prospects for overall holiday sales.
And two online sales today. One, Travel Deal Tuesday. We'll tell you about those deals. And it is Giving Tuesday, a chance for charities to get in on the act. All of that and loads more coming up on today's Noon Business Hour.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Cyber Monday is now in the books. We will review online retail's biggest day in our next segment. Right now, reports on home prices, consumer confidence lead today's data, while traders keep an eye on Fed policy and tariff talk. We are joined by Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, let's talk about your feelings about the retail and some of the reports that might suggest things about the economy.
So we had an increase in a slight decrease in consumer confidence over the month, but it remains near record high levels. There's actually an increase in current economic conditions. And so I think that implies that we will have a strong holiday season. I would expect to see an increase of about 5% for holiday spending this year, about the 3 percentage points of that coming from increased unit sales and about 2 percentage points from increased prices. So it should be a good season for retailers. And then we continue to see a little bit slower growth in house prices. So higher mortgage rates, inventories are up a little bit. So house price growth is slowing, but still at a steady pace. That's building wealth, and that's good news for households as well.
There is a report today that the president may impose tariffs on imported cars next week. Tell us about that.
An attempt to protect the domestic automakers. Obviously, with the news that the GM is going to be shutting or plans to shut a number of plants down. I'm skeptical that that's going to have much of an impact over the longer run. Americans, first of all, are buying fewer cars. They're switching more towards trucks and SUVs, and so I don't think tariffs would change that. And then also, it's certainly the case that it is cheaper in some circumstances to build these products abroad, and so we'll continue to see imports into the United States. I think GM is looking at the industry over the longer run. They're seeing the demand shift towards SUVs, towards electric cars, towards autonomous vehicles, and there's very little that the president can do about those types of changes in consumer demand over the long run.
As the U.S. and China are getting ready to speak here, they're leaders. Is there something that Wall Street and the economy in general, economists are looking for here that it maybe might be a positive signal, maybe an end to this trade war?
Well, certainly it'd be good if President Trump and President Xi could come to some sort of agreement and not have these retaliatory tit-for-tat tariffs. But there's no indication that President Trump, at least, is going to back down there. And so I would expect that there's still going to be a lot of uncertainty. I am hopeful that over the longer run, that it'll be a lot of heat, but very or a lot of noise, excuse me, but very little heat, very little actual tariffs. But certainly, I think the potential for tariffs remains high. And I am concerned that if the U.S. imposes increased tariffs on Chinese-made products, China retaliates, that could result in slower growth in both the United States and abroad, and then also higher prices for U.S. consumers.
And it's just, I guess there's irony there. Just as the U.S. economy seems to be doing well in just about every area, you have these tariffs that it really risk kind of messing it up.
I mean, on the other hand, you can argue that the U.S. economy is doing well, and so the United States therefore has some more leverage over China, and that given the fact that we see the Federal Reserve raising interest rates because they're concerned about growth that's perhaps a bit too strong, that this could relieve some of the pressure on the Fed, and they may not need to raise rates as much. But certainly I am concerned about the potential that tariffs could result in slower U.S. growth over the longer run by raising prices for consumers, by increasing costs for businesses that import goods. So there is a potential there for longer run damage to the U.S. economy.
What do you suppose will happen when the two presidents get behind doors this week?
Your guess is as good as mine on that one. I think President Trump lately has not appeared very conciliatory towards China or on trade in general. So I am, my guess is it will at least in the near term have a lot of heated rhetoric, but I am hopeful that over the longer run that is just rhetoric and that they'll come to some sort of agreement that will allow both sides to claim a victory.
What do you make of home prices, at least home price gains shrinking? How important is a strong housing market to the economy?
We have seen some slowing in housing in the middle of 2018 in the second half of the year. Obviously, higher mortgage rates have been a drag on the market. So I don't think that the slowing in house price growth is unexpected. House prices continue to rise in the low single-digit pace. Households continue to build wealth. Also, the tax bill reduced some of the tax incentives for home ownership. So, again, the slowing there is not a big surprise. I think that we'll continue to see modest gains in house prices going forward, allowing homeowners to build wealth. I don't think that represents a significant threat to the overall expansion.
Thanks for joining us today. Gus Fauché is chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Up next, we'll see if Cyber Monday lived up to its great expectations.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Another Cyber Monday has ended, and worker productivity, well, it may be getting back to normal levels today. Let's discuss how online retailers fared during their huge annual event. Joining us on the International Auto's Orland Park business line, Jan Rogers-Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers-Niffen Worldwide, based in New York. All right, Jan, how did retailers do?
Well, it was a pretty fabulous holiday selling weekend from Thursday right through Cyber Monday. I was pleased and amazed at just how strong online really turned out to be. It ran north of 20% every one of those 5 days. On Thanksgiving alone, online selling was up 28%. So if total selling was up 5.5%, my estimate, but probably pretty close, it's amazing how much of it is coming online, despite the fact that things still being pretty good for brick-and-mortar retail right now.
How is it for brick-and-mortar that also have a significant online presence?
Well, that's the game right now. Buy online, pick up in store was up 50%. So if you can get the customer to buy it online but pick it up in the store and save you having to ship it to them, that's a very good deal for the retailer. So all those companies that have invested in how to run their online business and be a true omni-channel retailer so that you can buy online, pick up in store, you can return to store, you can ship from store, all the things that you can do today with a brick-and-mortar store, they're faring pretty well as far as getting the customer's attention. The bad news is it's still more expensive doing the online business than the in-store business. So you see great sales and not quite as good of earnings increases as you do sales increases.
How else could you get people back to stores or into stores?
Well, I think this is the ideal thing, is to be all things to all people. Let her buy it where she wants it, however she wants it, at the price she's willing to pay. That's the game. right now, people do like shopping in the stores if there's interesting environments to be in. But if you look at malls today, they're all moving toward about 35% apparel and accessories businesses, where they used to be about 65%. The rest is going to be exciting things to get you there. Stores have to do the same thing. If you're going to continue to have stores and not just be online, you need to be able to do your online business effectively, and then you need to make the store fun or easy or very convenient, something that gets the customer to come in. And that's what everybody's working at. That's why it's working relatively well if you're Nordstrom's or Macy's or Kohl's or Walmart. They've all invested heavily in the online business. They're all doing enormous gains, big double-digit gains online, and yet they're still seeing enough business to keep the stores viable and fun and attractive.
And do they make more money? What are the margins like? Do they make more money in-store versus online? Is it about the same?
No, it's always better, and it still is today, even now that we're at volume, to sell it out of the store. If you can get the person to drive to the store, find it themselves, the pick and pack, carry it to the counter, buy it, and then carry it home, you can avoid all of that, and they will not pay you for sending it to their house. So if you send it to their house, you have to find it, pick it, pack it, buy it, or check it out, and send it to them. And yet, you can't get paid for that. So it's almost always more expensive to do an online sale. It's cheaper, though, to do an online sale if they'll come and get it at the store. So buy online, pick up in store is better. But the very best of all is still drive yourself to the store, walk in the store, buy it from me, and go home. That's ideal.
You save a little money, too. Jan, thanks so much for joining us today. Jan Rogers-Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers-Niffen Worldwide in New York. Still ahead, find low-priced airfares on this Travel Deal Tuesday.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. A check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco trade worries are pushing back against Wall Street's holiday optimism, the optimism that fueled yesterday's gains. Right now, the Dow is down 64 points, the NASDAQ 23, the S&P 5. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down about 0.5%. On Wall Street, trade is what's sitting on the averages after comments from President Trump, who told the Wall Street Journal he is ready to move ahead with more tariffs if talks with China's president don't produce a favorable outcome for the U.S., and then on top of boosting tariffs to 25% on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods, he would slap tariffs on the rest of Chinese imports that are currently not subject to duties. Among them could be smartphones and computers made in China. The president says Americans would be able to handle paying another 10% for smartphones. Investors aren't so sure, though. They're sending Apple shares lower by 1%. Now, let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have mixed prices here in the grains. Corn's been up 2.5 to down 0.5. The moment, December, up 1.5 at 357.5. March, up 1.5 at 369.5. Beans have been up as much as 16. Worries about Trump and China meeting on Friday, whether we'll have good news or bad news over. Yesterday we were down 18 on it. Today we're up 14 on it. And then wheat's been down as much as 10. We're down 7.5 there in December at $5 even. Those beans are up 14 in January at 8.76 1/4. Mixed across the board. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are in the red today. We'll see what's worrying Wall Street.
It's Travel Deal Tuesday, and that means there are hot prices for airline flights.
This is also Giving Tuesday. We'll help identify organizations that make the most of your charity dollar.
Tens of thousands of homes and business in the Chicago area are without power, still out without power in the wake of this week's snowstorm.
President Trump is accusing Russia investigation special counsel Robert Mueller of ruining lives.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 68, the NASDAQ off 16, S&P 500 down by 3.
Seeing the sun peek out from behind the clouds along the lakefront right now, AccuWeather says we'll see more of that sun as the afternoon goes along. Right now, 23 at O'Hare, also 23 at Midway, 25 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. The WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, the markets are losing ground today. Joining us on the International Autos Orland Park business line is Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Heartland & Company in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Jim. How would you characterize the markets today?
Well, it's under moderate pressure for two related issues. First, the effect of potential tariffs on Apple, and the broader question of the effect on tariffs on the economy next year in terms of cost, profit margin, consumer confidence, and business confidence. So all eyes are on the meeting Friday between the senior people from China and the United States, and Trump and Xi are going to meet. And logic would dictate that everybody loses if we go into a prolonged and serious trade war. And everybody wins if we can get enough concessions from the Chinese to allow Trump to declare victory and yet let the Chinese save face. So the markets are looking at Friday with a keen eye. And then, of course, tomorrow you have Powell speaking at the Economic Club of New York, and the markets are hoping for a little bit of a dovish tone from him. So you have upside and downside as to whether the markets are pleasantly or unpleasantly surprised tomorrow and Friday.
You know, we always talk about the big stocks, the technology stocks especially. What about small caps?
Well, small caps are really a leveraged play both ways on the risk-on, risk-off trade. Because when investors have confidence in the economy and the credit markets and growth, they tend to go with some of the smaller, younger companies that have longer-term potential. But less, in many cases, less geographic diversification, and in many cases, balance sheets that aren't as good. And conversely, when people, when investors are worried, they seem to want to go to the safety of the big multinationals that have broad diversification in terms of both product line, geography, and in most cases, tend to have higher debt ratings on their balance sheets.
I guess some analysts, even from Raymond James, saying it looks like we're in the ready for another bull run. What do you think? You think this is just sort of a short-term blip and we'll be headed back up here pretty soon?
Well, yeah, Jeff Sott, he's been consistently pretty bullish, and he's also not a bad, he's a pretty good forecaster over time. Look, the issue is this. We all know that the economy, as we sit here, is good. It's going to be a good Christmas season. Sales and profits are going to be good. The question is, are we starting to see the emerging signs of a slowdown? Auto sales seem to have peaked. Housing sales are going down at a moderate pace. Companies are starting to talk about margin pressures. Companies are starting to talk about the negative effect of tariffs. So the question becomes, what is 2019 and more importantly, 2020 look like? And that's what the markets are going to be focusing on as we get flash early reports on fourth quarter earnings in December and then full reports in January. And what I would watch most closely is the high-yield, low-quality debt markets. If those markets remain under control, that's telling you that investors have confidence in the economy and stocks are likely to make more progress. If you start to see credit spreads widen and a negative return in high-yield debt, it's basically saying that all that debt that's been issued to less than investment-grade companies over the next 10 years, those companies are going to start to have problems paying off that debt if both interest rates rise and the economy slows. So that's the key to watch. And Jeff will be right or wrong, depending on the answer to that question.
How do we deal with oil as investors, given the fact that it's obviously been on a rough ride down by about a third or so from its highs?
Right. And, declining oil benefits certain areas of the economy and hurts other areas of the economy. Where it hurts the most is you have a lot of lower quality oil companies with debt. And with the market fears of if oil goes down to too large an extent, those companies may have problems servicing their debt, and that would spread into the high yield market in general. I don't think that's going to happen. The combination of reasonable growth worldwide, even though it's decelerating, and some discipline on the part of OPEC in terms of production, I don't think oil is going to go up or down a lot. It was a little bit of a scare the last couple of weeks, but I think going forward, it's not going to be a driver of equity prices, either positively or negatively.
If we saw the big, big, huge markets pull back a little bit on Wall Street, would you advise investors to get in when we're at a lower pace?
Well, what I would say is think long term, stick to your asset allocation. And if you're underweight equities and stocks continue to go down and you're younger and you have time, yes, you want to buy stocks, you know, after a correction and when they're down. If you're older and don't have time to make back any money that might be lost, the converse is true. And when there are rallies, you lighten up a little bit. So the important point is to stick to your asset allocation. On average, I would say that the odds are slightly in favor of all these uncertainties being resolved on the upside. But Trump's a tough negotiator. You never know. He may go too far in pushing the Chinese, and the Fed may go too far and raise rates until something breaks. And then you've got the Mueller-Trump duel going on. So there's a lot that could go wrong. But I think external factors, the line of least resistance remains moderately positively sloped.
Jim Awad, always appreciate the analysis. Jim is Senior Managing Director at Heartland & Co. in New York. Up next, Travel Tuesday. It's the day for deals on airline fares.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. We could call it Travel Deal Tuesday, the airline industry version of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. To talk about it, we welcome Ann McDermott, editor at FareCompare.com, based in Los Angeles. And so we have pretty much system-wide. We have just about all airlines getting in on this today.
Well, let me preface this by saying Tuesday is generally sale day for all the airlines. Almost every Tuesday, many release sales. So that's part of the reason for this. And, you know, there are fantastic deals out there, absolutely. And if anybody is interested in shopping, you know, be my guest, go for it. But one of the reasons is that flights are cheap, really, really cheap in January and the first half of February, and partly because people don't want to fly then.
And we're talking not just domestic, international, and pretty much deals to just about everywhere.
We are seeing tremendous deals, particularly to Europe. For example, Paris, I've seen it $334. London, $325. I'm quoting flights out of Chicago, and these are round-trip fares. That London is a nonstop flight. Chicago to Dublin, I'm seeing $306 round-trip, and these are all in January.
How about oceans and beaches in February?
Well, Miami is $100 in January, round trip. That's a very good price. And if you have your heart set on going to Miami, absolutely, go to Miami. Still save money and have a wonderful time. But if all you care about is going to a warm beach, you might want to try Fort Myers, because I just noticed they are $76 round trip. Now, that's not going to make or break a trip, obviously. But say you're a family of four, that extra $100, you know, it'll come in handy.
A lot of Chicagoans go there at that time of year.
It seems like a perfect time, perfect place, perfect price.
So as far as getting these deals, it's not necessarily just go on the website and the deals are completely advertised. By that, I mean when you search, they pop up. Sometimes you have to enter a code or something like that, just depending on the airline.
It depends on the airline. One thing I do want to say is, you know, you'll see possibly a great deal from an airline that's maybe a favorite of yours. Absolutely. Go there and see what they've got. But before you ding your credit card, please go to a airfare comparison site. Doesn't have to be ours. Can be anybody's. But just so you can compare fares, because even the very cheapest airlines do not always have the very cheapest price. And if you don't compare, you know, you may think, oh, I scored a great deal. And then you'll say, oh, wait a minute, I could have saved this. So do compare. You know, maybe you'll find out that the first price you saw was the best one, but maybe not.
You know, spend a lot of time with it for sure. Anne McDermott, thanks for being with us. Anne is editor at faircompare.com. This time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, making sure you get the best bang for the buck when donating to charity on this Giving Tuesday.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
This is Giving Tuesday. It's designed to encourage people to donate to charity this holiday season, helping us identify some of the organizations that do the best job of that. Michael Thatcher, CEO of CharityNavigator.org in Glen Rock, New Jersey. Welcome to our program. Michael, tell us how this works and to whom are we donating?
Thank you, Chris. Well, you're basically able to donate to anyone you want on Giving Tuesday. We've just been through Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and today is dedicated to giving back. So look for a good nonprofit that you want to make a donation to, figure out what cause you want to give to, and give generously, but give wisely.
And what is your role in this?
So what Charity Navigator does, we evaluate nonprofits in the U.S. We're the largest independent evaluator. We will help you find an organization that you can make a donation to.
So when it comes to people near the end of the year, they're giving today and they're thinking about taxes. Any sort of advice that you can offer people to try to, yes, go ahead, do good and give money, but also maximize it?
A couple of things. One is I think you should be proactive in your giving. So think about what causes you care about, what type of social change you want to affect. Think about giving as an investment. Are you trying to create a positive change for the environment, for education, for the arts? Really think through this and then come to an organization like Charity Navigator that can find you the best charity that's actually working in that area.
And how key is that, actually knowing, because there are so many different groups out there. I mean, my inbox is slammed today. Social media is slammed today. You're getting all of these requests for money. How important is it to know who's really doing well, not just as far as the cause, but also with their own budgets and being good stewards of that money?
That's a great question. And I think one of the keys is, first of all, figuring out, is this organization financially responsible? Are they well run? And then more importantly, I would also look at, are they actually achieving their mission? And so I would actually ask an organization, how are you doing? What is it? How effective are you? And are you actually making a difference? If they can't answer that question, I would keep looking.
Would last year you raised $300 million last year. Besides raising actual money, how about volunteering? Is that part of this as well?
Absolutely. And what you'll find is that many of the Giving Tuesday initiatives involve donations. Many people are asking for money. And then you're also going to have volunteer efforts that spring out of this effort. And finding an organization, it's a great way of actually feeling good about what you're doing because you're getting involved with the organization by actually volunteering your time. So a combination of cash and time, it's a great way to go.
That's Michael Thatcher joining us, CEO of CharityNavigator.org. Charity Navigator is the country's largest independent charity evaluator, joining us on this Giving Tuesday. We'll get an update on the markets from Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55, a check of the markets from Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Cisco trade worries are taking a small bite right now from the gains Wall Street posted on holiday shopping optimism yesterday. Right now, the Dow is down 28 points. The NASDAQ 14, the S&P 2. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is falling 0.25%. Investors got trade jitters after President Trump told the Wall Street Journal there will be new tariffs against the rest of Chinese goods and higher tariffs on the ones already hit if there's no progress with China on trade this week. But they rolled back some of the losses on hearing the president's chief economic advisor say this afternoon there is a good chance for a deal. The hit of Super Bowl 20, the Chicago Bears singing the Super Bowl Shuffle. Ah, the memories. Well, we won't play it because there's a new lawsuit that charges various Fox companies have been using both the music and video without permission from the song's owners. Neither Fox Sports nor 21st Century Fox is commenting. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.